Welcome to the My Walk, My Way podcast.
They wanted to take away my darkness,
but that will take away my light.
They wanted to take away my darkness,
but I've learned to make it mine. I learned to love it over time.
I've learned to make my shadow shine.
I hope you're enjoying the My Walk, My Way podcast. If you are, make sure that you subscribe so you always know when a new episode is coming out, and leave us a review. It helps other people to find out about the podcast. If you'd like to keep the conversation going, please join us on our Facebook page, the My Walk, My Way community, where we talk more about the authors, about their endotypes, and about their stories. That's also where you can ask questions about your endotype. If you don't know yet what your endotype is, go to the My Walk, My Way website. Both links are in the show notes below. And take the simple 5-question assessment to find out what your endotype is, which author you're most like, and download the free resource guide that helps you understand more about how you work. It helps you start to move through fear so that you can do your walk your way. And if you're part of a book club, we invite you to make My Walk, My Way part of the books you consider this year. And we have included a book club guide on our website. Hello, everyone. I am excited. Did you hear that lovely intro music that we have on for our podcast? That is a song called Shine by Gin Chocolate and Bottle Rockets, and it's been one of my favorites for years now. The lyrics of it, how they wanted to take away our darkness, but we needed to let it shine, is so in line with the theme of the book, right? We tried to do it everybody else's way because they were telling us that we were doing it wrong. But then I got to do it my way. I got to shine on my own and my own way. And so when the book came along and we were going to do the podcast, I asked the band for permission to use Shine, which obviously was granted. And just what an amazing privilege. Today, though, we are on this episode of the podcast talking to one of the members of Gin Chocolate and Bottle Rockets and one of the authors of our book. Her name is Beth Killey, and she wrote the first chapter of the book, Why Haven't You Made It Yet? Beth is an angry thymus visionary. And on this episode of the podcast, I really encourage you to listen to the end because I learned a little something new about the endotype formula as Beth was talking. So you can watch me put together pieces, new pieces, in real time. Fabulous. Thank you very much for joining us today, Beth. So glad to have you here.
I am stoked to be here. Thanks for having me.
Good. So tell us a little bit about your chapter and kind of the story behind it.
Yeah, you bet. Well, my chapter is called Why Haven't You Made It Yet? And I am currently working as a musician, but that's not where I started in my adulthood career. So I had took an interesting journey to get here. And of course, when you're in music, I think the common, I don't know if mantra is the right word, but you know, just sort of the mindset a lot of people have is that if you are not world famous, household name, played on the radio on a regular basis, you have not made it in music. And it took me a long time to realize what my definition of making it was. And, you know, went through a lot of soul searching and interesting journey to kind of get to where I am right now, which is in a really good place in terms of my satisfaction with what I'm doing with my life and the career that I've built around music.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think whether it's music or not, you know, being in business, right? Absolutely. Unless you are, you know, I know I work with a lot of coaches, and it's right, like, unless you're Tony Robbins, unless you're known as well as this person, having just a sustainable business that supports you and takes care of your people doesn't seem like enough. Right. And I loved your chapter for that reason, because it really took you through your process of defining success.
Yep.
And what you kind of went through to be able to get there. Yeah. And you know, it was a great reflection for me to be able to go, yeah, I get to define success too. So I think from whatever aspect it is, and even in, I mean, you're a mom, I'm a mom, even in motherhood.
Oh, right.
Right. Unless your kid is on the dean's list, or, you know, honor roll, or is in 14 events and after school activities. And no shame on anybody who's like that. But I think that we look for the places we feel like we're not successful.
Yes, yes. We have that whole negativity bias that's built into our brains, unfortunately. And so it's really easy to get caught in these loops. And I find myself there, and then I'm like, okay, shake it off. Come back to reality and look at all that you have to be grateful for. And it's, you know, constantly bringing myself back and surrounding myself with people who bring me to that point is very helpful too.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things that I was going to ask you, your endotype, right? One of the things that you do very well for other people is help them feel like they're worthy, help them feel like they're valued, help them feel like you're good enough. But it's part of the hero part of your endotype, which very often we do well for others. And for ourselves, it's a little harder, and we kind of need training around that. And I think what you're doing here is mentioning some of the ways that you've put that training in place for yourself. But how else have you kind of trained your brain to look for those ways that you are successful, you are good enough?
Yeah, well, I feel like I've really gotten into meditation in the last probably decade. And that's been really helpful for me as someone who is sort of a lifelong, just anxious type and, you know, overachiever perhaps. And I don't like, I feel like that's kind of a snotty way to refer to oneself, but like, I've always really, I found it very important that other people view me as successful and working hard. And that's, it's tricky because you just don't know what other people think, and it really doesn't matter, but it's hard to get out of that mindset. And so I think just finding ways to calm my inner catastrophizer and really like focus on the moment and stay present is really important. And one of the ways that I stay present is making music, because when I'm in a moment of music, especially if I'm with my bandmates or like creating here in my studio where I happen to be sitting at the moment, that like, that is me in flow. And that is not me in a state of panic and worrying about the future or perseverating on something that happened in the past. It's me in the moment being present and usually sane. Yeah. I say usually, because I'm so human. I am so human.
Yes. Yes. No, I think that is a great thing. You know, meditation helps you get in that flow. You can reach out to friends, but being in the present moment and that overachiever effect that you're talking about is not something that's unique only to you. I think that a lot of the other visionaries who are listening, and some of the other endotypes too, but I haven't yet met a visionary that isn't in that overachiever mindset. Like, and you know, success and working hard and putting things together is very much a gift that you guys as visionary endotypes have, because the part of you that connects to planning and to having a vision and to executing that vision is connected to your parent piece. So it's like that parent is always looking to protect, is looking to guide, is kind of forewarning. And yet it can get a little, a little extra sometimes.
Yes. Yes. And that's something that I really noticed. And it's interesting because after learning about my endotype, And some of the things that you write about with what you've developed with the endotype, like I realize it's kind of that, I mean, my career before music was, I was a physical therapist and was like, mm-hmm. I will help you. I will help you get better. You will get back on your feet. You will, you know, move without pain. You'll walk again. And I'm going to be that person that gets you to that point. And so that's really something that's very much a part of my personality is, and I do it now with music, I think, is like, you know, you have creativity in you. You can get that creativity out. You've got it. You can do this. We can make music. You're worthy of standing on stage and sharing your voice. And but sometimes people aren't quite ready for that. And I tend to be the one who like shoves them out onto the stage and says, go do this. And you know, there's some merit in that because some people do need a kick in the ass, but there are some people who also, you know, maybe just do it on their own timeline. And as somebody who's always, you know, been a person to just push and like, I've never really been particularly averse to falling on my face or making an ass out of myself on stage. It just, you know, it's like, whatever, I did that. I'll recover. Let's move forward. But not everybody is in that headspace. And so, you know, just proceeding with a little more empathy and caution when it comes to pushing others is something that I've really learned from studying my endotype and some of the wisdom that you've shared. That's helpful. Very helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, there are 16 endotypes and four of them fall into this action first.
Okay. So my last name is Killy, but I often joke they should call me Beth over Killy. Cause like, I mean, here's a classic example. I was class president my freshman year of high school. And it was tasked with, we're tasked with having to make the float for the homecoming parade. And I've never done this before, right? So I don't know what the floats have ever looked like. I'm a freshman, right? So my dad owned Bob's Tire and Auto, a service station in Marinette, Wisconsin. And so we had this big like loading dock bay in one of the end of his store. And he had a buddy who had a flatbed trailer that he hauled behind like a semi truck. And I was like, great. We'll build our float on that. And so, you know, I recruited all my friends and we got in there and we built this float that was massive. And we won the float competition because our float was like 8 times bigger than everybody else's. But I had no idea what it was supposed to look like. But I was just like, let's do this, you know, lead the charge. And, right. And I think, you know, the upperclassmen might have been a little pissed at us, but I was like, oh, sorry. I didn't realize what. Why did you make that dinky little ugly thing?
Right. Why did you put that in the back of your ugly pickup?
We got pyrotechnics. We got, no, it didn't. They didn't let us light it on fire, but I would have had they allowed it. So yes, I am the overkill.
Yeah. Well, but that's how you guys work. That's how you learn. See, yes. The endotype has shown me that you guys must, the four that fall into the action oriented. And so when I say you guys, I'm identifying, I don't fall there, but you action first and then learn from there. And so it's like the, I always say it's kind of like the people who are putting the plane together as it's in the air. Oh, yeah. You know what we need to steer this thing. Let's go ahead and put that on too.
Yep.
Where there are others who are more motivation first. They're always going, what's our intention? What are we trying to accomplish? Who does this help and affect? Then there are others who are more information first. Let me get all the information. And they would, at that float, they'd be going around interviewing, like, what did your float look like last year? Can you show me pictures? How do you do that? Oh, interesting. Before they ever took action. And sometimes that's where they get stuck. Information, 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 but don't move into action. Uh-huh. And then there are other people who need to have the feels first, right? It has to be the right energy, has to be the right people. They have to feel safe. Then they want to know what we're doing, and then they can move into that action space. Yes. So it's just how we're made that makes such a big difference. And a lot of us, here's the thing, it's why I was motivated to create this book is because we all think we think the same.
Right. And that is so helpful to have that realization in both making sure you don't step on people and also realizing that other people don't intend to step on you. Mm-hmm. It can really right. change your perspective of the world. And, you know, it's something you have to keep coming back to.
Yeah.
It's not something you figure out one day and then you're like, cured.
No. I got it all figured out. No, because I have this hidden little system that, you know, helps me to understand how people work. And I still look at people and go, why are you like this?
Yes, oh. yes, yes.
And then I go, well, I know why they're like this.
Right.
Like,
right.
I know what is their inner motivator, you know, like that's what the yeah. endotype shows me. But yeah. And you're working with so many people. One of the things that you talk about in your book is Girls Rock Camp. Tell yes. us a little bit more about how you work with Girls Rock and Ladies Rock.
Yeah, you bet. So Girls Rock Camp is a 1 week long day camp for girls ages 8 to 18. And actually we are a trans inclusive, non-binary inclusive camp as well. But, you know, it started out as Girls Rock Camp back in 2010 here in Madison. And the kids that show up, they don't have to have any musical experience. One prerequisite is they have to have a desire to rock. And that doesn't necessarily mean play rock music. It just means like get up and do something crazy on stage with maybe four people you just met that are now in your band with an instrument that you may have just picked up on Monday. So it's a real... The mission of the organization is to empower our campers and to teach them collaboration and to build each other up. And especially, I think, you know, those who are marginalized or, you know, oppressed because of their gender, they tend to feel like their voice isn't worthy and they are less likely to share their valuable ideas and opinions. And sadly, sometimes they are the ones who are lashing out and cutting the others down. And so we are very overt in our mission at this camp that says, yeah, we want you to get up on stage on Saturday and perform the song that you just read with the four people you just met on the instrument you just learned. But we don't care if it's, you know, a one note song with four words that you just scream over and over. What we want to make sure is that you, you know, listen to your fellow bandmates, that you put your ideas out there, that you learn to work together and that you build each other up, because mm-hmm. the world out there can be a really shitty place, but we are going to create a little utopia here. And it doesn't mean we're always going to agree or get along, but we are going to work together. And hopefully by learning that spaces like this can exist, you can take this out into the rest of the world and create those spaces there, and we can make the world a better place.
Yep. And I haven't had the opportunity to kind of see that end of the Girls Rock Camp, but I did get to come to one of your Ladies Rock mm-hmm. Camp performances. And I will say it was really moving. And from the space of right, myself being a people studier, yeah, you know, because that's just what I do now. My boys hate it when we go to restaurants because they're like, stop endotyping people. you're just staring. But to watch people get up on that stage and then put their identity out there in a song that they've written, or mm-hmm. Just share vulnerably that part of themselves was really, really just beautiful to be able to like witness and watch these yeah. people who had something inside of them that had always, I think, wanted to come out, and you create a space for that to happen.
Yes, yes. And you know, so Ladies Rock Camp is basically the version of this for anyone who's 19 to 190. And it's a 3-day weekend. And what's interesting is that, you know, the girls show up at camp and, you know, those younger campers are kind of like, hey, it doesn't matter that I never played drums before. I'm going to figure it out. You're going to teach me. I don't have to be the expert because I'm a kid. But the older campers that show up for Ladies Rock Camp, they walk in. A lot of them are, you know, heads of companies. They are attorneys. They're physicians. They're heads of their household. They are, you know, competent managers. They are the ones who are on top of their game. And so to put them in a position where they've never tried to play the keyboard mm-hmm. before, they've never sang in front of a group of people, they've never written a song, it can be almost paralyzing for some of them. And we just say, hey, this is a place for you to embrace your non-expertise.
Yeah.
And come in with that learner's mind and beginner's mind and really just be open to the challenge of this and lean on your bandmates and on your band coaches. The, you know, the staff that we hire are phenomenal people that really help guide the campers through the whole experience. And, you know, I've witnessed this with my staff over and over. So my job with camp is I'm the co-founder and the music director. I hire all the people that work with the campers, and I work really hard to get people in those positions who I know are going to be able to give just the right amount of assistance. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to be so new at something that you're just like, well, figure it out. That's not fair. But you also don't want them to write the song for the campers, because that's not allowing them to create. So like watching the staff guide the campers through and, you know, grasping onto this part of that person's idea and this part of another person's idea and like building them together into something that they can stand up on stage at the end of the experience and perform for others is really magical. And it's amazing to watch.
Yeah, it is. It's very amazing to watch. Just as an attendee. And, you know, the other thing that I noticed, was the people, the others who were in the audience who were, you know, like just watching the dynamics. It was a lot of friends. It was a lot of like family members coming to see mom perform, but to watch and to feel the energy of the pride that those family members had watching mom be vulnerable up there,
yes.
You know, it's creating this like ripple effect. Yes. Into the community and into families, that is just, I don't know. It was very moving. It was pretty incredible.
Well,
and it
I'm
was
so
neat
glad.
To see you in, you know, because one of the things you do with your endotype is you create belonging, you create community. It's a gift you have. It's the genius you have. And so it was neat to see you after having known you, you know, with the band that you're in and then know you through this book process, but to watch you in that zone of genius, running that thing was really cool too.
Ah, well, thank you. It's really, it's interesting. Like kind of, I explore this a little bit in the book, but I say it sort of jokingly, but actually quite seriously, that if all I ever created in my life was Girls and Ladies Rock Camp, that I can die happy. And that's really, you know, that's where I have come to terms with, I've made it. You know, I started out as a songwriter and a musician playing on stages and performing my music. And I love doing that. I still do that. And I know that that's a place where I build community as well. But the way that Girls and Ladies Rock Camp has impacted our community and the people who've come through the program and the people like myself who work for the program, I feel like that's my legacy and the thing that has allowed me to realize, like, I have made it. I'm doing what I was meant to do. And, you know, you keep talking about the genius thing. I mean, that's from The Big Leap, I think. Is that the book?
Yeah.
You know, they talk about like your different zones and like, you know, you can be good at something. And I feel like in physical therapy, I was a good therapist and I enjoyed that work. But it wasn't really like where I belonged and it wasn't my zone of genius because I wasn't really building community in there. I was helping people, which is something I love to do. And I really, you know, I'm fascinated by the human body but working in healthcare can be a little dysfunctional sometimes and you feel a little helpless and you can try to build community in there and I think you can succeed in a certain way, but there's a lot of systems that interact with each other in somewhat dysfunctional ways in healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
And which is sort of sad and a weird juxtaposition of like health and not health happening right. at the same time. And so I, as you know, in my role in that system, I didn't feel like I was really able to supersede it and rise above it and have an impact. But I do feel like in music, that is where I can really express all of the things that I love and mm-hmm. feel called to do. And that in that camp setting, it really, I don't know, it's my happy place.
Yep. Yeah. Well, and even with the other bands that you have either started or you were a part of and you know, knowing some of your bandmates, they're like, Beth's the business of the band. Like, if you have a business thing you need to talk to Beth about, you know, like, because that's part of this community building thing, like this structure thing. Understanding business is a big gift of the visionaries as well. And, you know, and taking concepts, right? We can be up in our head with concepts and visions and whatever all day, but until like rubber meets the road, mm-hmm. it's just a pretty idea.
Yeah.
And visionaries are very much, because of this place where belonging is inside of their endotype, they're very much this like, we must make this be something,
yes.
kind of thing. You know, no more idea, make it be a thing.
Yes.
So I can see all of those parts expressed through you. We've talked a little bit about vulnerability and the vulnerability that we see at the camp and that space that you open for them. Vulnerability kind of falls into a space for you that can be a little bit hard. Now, I don't think anybody that knows you can't feel that connection and that empathy and the compassion that you have. And that's true with most visionaries. And yet it can be a struggle. So have you ever struggled with feeling like you don't want to be vulnerable? You feel disconnected for others or separate from others. Mm-hmm. And can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. Well, I think I explore in the chapter a little bit, like when I was working as a physical therapist, I mean, I enjoyed the work, or even when I was in school for PT, I wasn't doing anything when I was in school, I wasn't doing anything musical. And it's what I maybe, and maybe this is like not really answering the question, but like me being able to be with other people in music is like a safe place to be vulnerable. And just because that's the way I grew up. And when I was in school and doing my master's degree in physical therapy, I was surrounded by, you know, jocks and academics I dig those people and got along with them well, but it didn't feel like my community. And so there was like a piece of me that I couldn't express, and I was surrounded by people that didn't really understand it. And even when I started working as a PT, I had a colleague who was just super supportive of the music that I did and wonderful. But you know, none of them were really musicians or mm-hmm. like, they weren't super creative in like an art create way. I mean, they were creative in their jobs and were wonderful people and super hard workers. And, you know, I just to this day adore all of them, but it was really just a space where I felt a little like, this isn't my community, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I think that makes total sense. Cause in thinking of other visionaries that I know, you know, whether I know one who's a very successful real estate agent, and yet her heart is in coaching women and empowering women and vision board workshops and, you know, kind of doing those things. I know another who had a very successful company, but she has some empathic abilities. And until she was really able to connect, what I wrote down was, right, a safe place to express all of you.
Yes.
That's where, you know, you can fully let that that's an interesting, I'm glad you said it that way, because it's an interesting thing for me to go, oh, I see how that goes into the endotype formula. So I learned just a little something new today. So that's great.
Well, you know, even reflecting farther back, like when I was in high school, like every time I went to band camp or did some sort of like, you know, retreat with like other musicians, I always just felt like I didn't have to hide any of that kind of freaky, weird artist type of me, piece of me, that because I knew that those people who participated in that activity got it. You know, if they were at a level where they actually went to band camp, they were a music nerd and they were my people.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I remember feeling, and I talk about this in the book too, like how, like I didn't, my parents never forced me to practice my clarinet when I was growing up. And I had a piano that was actually in my room because there wasn't room for it elsewhere in the house when I was growing up. And when my sister and I finally got our own rooms, they moved the piano into the room that became my sister's room into my room. And I was totally happy with that because I would just sit and play as a way to like comfort myself and just express sound and feeling. And so there were other people that I was very close to growing up that didn't do that. And so it felt almost like this is like a weird little thing that I do that I'm not safe, or I don't feel safe. And maybe I was, but they just didn't get it. And because mm-hmm. they didn't get it, it was like, they didn't understand me and couldn't grasp that really integral, super personal piece of me that felt so central to who I was.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. So this part that seeks connection for you, that's connected to vulnerability and empathy and love, is in your endotype, it's connected to your young child, right? The young child part of you.
Yeah.
For me, that young child part, it connects to identity. And for other endotypes, it'll connect to something completely different, significance or power or whatever. But yeah, I can totally see how, even to this day, it's easy for me to be who I am, you know, let the freak flag fly, just be a weirdo of who I am with other people who are being who they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if I get into a room or a space where that doesn't feel safe, where people are kind of being inauthentic, trying mm-hmm. to be something that they're not, it's harder for me then mm-hmm. to feel comfortable playing with them at this young child space. And I think that that's true of all the endotypes, you know, those who have significance there or those who have power there. If we're around other powerful people, easy for us to feel empowered too. If we're around people who are trying to control or manipulate or whatever power, then that part just goes away too. So interesting way to look at it. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about what you are up to these days. What's kind of next for you coming up here this spring?
Yeah. Well, now, I guess February, there's a challenge put out to songwriters all over the world to write 14 songs in 28 days. And so I have been writing like crazy, which feels really good. And it's very therapeutic. And I don't know if any of these, you know, songs will hit the airwaves or be shared beyond just this little experiment that I'm doing with these people that are doing the same crazy thing. Speaking of community, there's 2,480 some people all around the world participating in this February album writing month, which is pretty sweet because we can all comment on each other's work and contribute, and like other people will add, you know, music to your lyrics, or they'll add a guitar solo to the song, or it's really, really nifty, really cool community. But one of the things that came out of this is that I actually started working on a ambient music type of like meditation CD, which mm-hmm. is something I've never done before. I'm trying to put together an album of just instrumental stuff, because everything for me has always just been tied to lyrics. Mm-hmm. So that's been kind of a fun experiment. So I may have an instrumental album coming out in the near future. And things have been a little slower on the show front because of the weirdness with pandemic. But in April, May 7th, I have a very cool show coming up with my trio. The trio is called Gin, Chocolate, and Bottle Rockets. And we are doing a tribute to the trio, which is Emmylou Harris, Dolly Parton, and Linda Ronstadt. And we'll be performing at the Al Ringling Theater in Baraboo. And we just kind of explore these amazing artists and their lives and the music that they made and their interactions with each other. And it's a really fun show. And it's another way to kind of, you know, build community, express creativity, honor amazing mm-hmm. musicians and awesome songwriting and really cool music with a group of people that understand it and enjoy it. So it'll be fun. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I know that you've done this show another time, and what I heard, the reviews that I have heard from when you did that show and just the impact that show had upon the audience was significant. So I'm looking forward to being in attendance at the Al and hanging out in Baraboo with you guys. So I think that'll be super fun.
Because the Gin, Chocolate, and Bottle Rockets, my trio with Shondell Marks and Jen Farley, like those are my two best friends. And like the community that we've created just within the band that extends to the audience, I think that is impactful, and people feel that love And yeah, we are very vulnerable on stage. Generally, we, you know, we're very authentic and just, we have a good time. But we take it seriously and we work hard and we put our voices together and it becomes sort of a little animal on its own. It's its own little beast. Something that, you know, you can't do with just a single voice is really fun to share with them and with the people who show up for our shows.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And so if people want to get a hold of you, maybe they want to find out more about the show. Maybe they just want to connect with you. How can people find you?
Yes. I have my own website. It's Beth Kille, BethKille.com. It's got all my shows and it has links to all the bands that I'm in, and my email address is on there. So I love connecting with people. Yeah. And, you know, all that email comes right to me. I'm not that big where somebody else answers my email for me yet. So feel free to reach out and tell me how you're doing and, you know, what motivates you. And
yeah,
and we'll just keep building that community.
Perfect. And we'll put that link in the show notes so that people can find you well too. Just go down there and click in the show notes. Love it. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
This was a blast.
Super fun.
And really, really happy to have you as part of the book. Thanks for sharing your story with everybody.
Absolutely. Thanks for letting me share.
Yeah. So, did you notice all those pieces being put together? I mean, I loved to learn new things. And today when Beth mentioned that she had to be in the right group of people to feel safe to express vulnerability, love, connection, it was like a big old light bulb going on for me. So Beth has love at that young child level. And I mentioned in the podcast, I have for me, identity, for other people, significance or belonging, or maybe it's worthiness or intuition or voice. And it just makes total sense that connected to that young child, there has to be that safety there. It's so much easier when the safety is already there to be able to let that out, let it shine when other people are also understanding their own enoughness. It's easy to acknowledge and to allow our own worth to show through. And it's not necessary to only be surrounded by those people, right? So for myself, it's easier for me to embrace my own identity when other people around me are embracing theirs. And so that's the people that I pull into my inner circle. But I got to be who I am regardless. And that's the work for me. That's the challenge for me. So whatever is at your young child, that's the work for you to be and to embrace no matter what. If you don't know what it is, remember, take that quiz. And that's where you will start to understand a little bit more about yourself. So mywalkmyway.com. 5 questions and you can start learning more. Thank you for joining us today on this episode of My Walk My Way. To not miss an episode, please go to wherever you get your podcasts and hit that subscribe button. While you're there, it really helps us out a lot if you leave a review. To pick up a copy of the My Walk My Way book, you can get that wherever books are sold and order that. And on our mywalkmyway.com website, you can find special gifts that help you understand your endotype just a little bit better. I can't go today before I give special thanks to the band Gin, Chocolate, and Bottle Rockets for allowing us to use this beautiful music from their song Shine. Check them out. The rest of their music is great too. Doesn't make my shadow